Welcome to the podcast that puts a finger on the pulse of medicine and technology. On this show, you'll hear from investors, industry executives, and healthcare providers on the science and business of medicine. I'm your host, Omar M. Khatib, and this is the State of MedTech. So, welcome back to the show, everybody. So I wanted to record this podcast at the end of Q3 just because it was a tough quarter for a lot of people in the medical sales world. Tough quarter for a lot of people in general in sales. And I think the main reason why is that, you know, this year was really the first year that we were out of the pandemic. And so a lot of people went on vacations, took time off, you know, so it made it more difficult if you're in the sales world to hit your quota. You know, it's just tough. You know, sometimes as much as I'd like to believe, and I do, that you have control over a lot of these things and you can influence it as much as you'd like, you know, sometimes it's just not the case, right? And so I wanted to do this episode just to give a little bit of advice as to what do you do, you know, when you're a salesperson, you know, and you miss your quota, especially in Q3, and Q4 is a tough quarter. So part of this, while I mainly focus on the show of giving business advice, this part of this is going to be a little bit of therapy. I think some people actually need it. And I've been there myself, you know, when it comes to not having the quarter that you want. And so I want to start this episode just by covering a few subjective, philosophical approaches about what do you do with your mindset when it comes to hitting your goals, right? What do you do to kind of turn it around? But then I actually want to cover some actionable advice towards the end about sales management and how you should think about structuring your quarter, and more importantly, how do you dig yourself out of a hole? So one of the realities of life is that when you see a successful person, let's say another really successful salesperson, what you're really seeing is a person who's standing on a big pile of circumstances, rather than being buried by them. And what I mean by that is that, you know, no matter what you sell, there's always going to be some obstacles, you know, that you have to overcome. Circumstances that are out of control, bad market, reduced budgets, reduced access, right? And so the great salespeople find a way to stand on top of a pile of circumstances. The ones that are not like that allow their circumstances to bury them, right? And I think that sales, just like being a professional athlete, right, is very much focused on, it's really on mindset, right? Now, wishful thinking and hope, you know, is not going to get you anywhere. Hope is definitely not a strategy, but you're going to do a lot better with the right type of mindset. And again, just like an athlete, the way you start your day, the way you align your mind, how do you go about taking action, hitting those goals? That's what's really this is going to be about. And more importantly, again, for those of you who, let's say, miss quota, maybe you got put on a performance improvement plan, right? And so you're feeling really depressed, really down. You might feel that no matter what you can do this quarter, you might have to either leave this company that you're at, or like maybe you're probably going to get laid off or fired, right? So I'm going to have some very specific advice for you as well for those salespeople who might be looking for a new job. Like if you're going to be looking for a new job and applying, this is the time to do it, which is end of the year. But not all hope is lost. So I want to cover what you can do this quarter. So let's start with the first thing for those who, again, failed. You missed quota by a lot. You know, maybe you called some deals that you knew deep down inside were never ever going to cross the line, but you had a little hope. Maybe you're a little bit too overconfident, and so you failed, right? The first thing I want you to remember is that failure is an event. It's never a person, right? It's never an attitude. It's not an outcome. It's just a temporary inconvenience. It's a stepping stone, right? And your response to this is going to determine what happens next to you. So again, I'm going to repeat that. Failure is an event. It's not a person, right? And your response to this will determine what happens next. Many years ago, when I was struggling on the sales side, and I was put on a performance improvement plan. My cousin, who's an economist, a very sharp man, called me, and I was kind of really depressed, really down on my luck. And he gave me really good advice. I'll never forget it. He said, you know, the most important thing right now for you to manage, Omar, is your confidence and your attitude. Everything else you don't have control, but the one thing you have control is your confidence and attitude. And that never, that always stuck with me. And the reason why I'm saying that with a salesperson, because again, I know many of you are looking for tactics and strategies to actually help you overcome these things. I'm going to get into that. But this all really starts with, how do you perceive what just happened, right? Think about this like an athlete, right? For, you know, and sorry for the sports analogy, but, you know, when the Patriots, New England Patriots, were in the Super Bowl and they were starting the third quarter down 27-3 to the Atlanta Hawks, right? If they looked at themselves as failures and all they did was beat themselves up about the mistakes they made, they would have never made that historic comeback, right? It's the same thing here. When a plane takes off from Dallas on the way to New York and it hits a little bit of turbulence, the plane doesn't change course and then go back to Dallas and start over again. It just adjusts its course, right? And so if you miss quota, right, you had some failures, these do not define you. This is not your identity, right? So if you want to say that you missed quota, that's okay. If you want to say that you failed to hit some objectives, that's all right. Never ever say the identifying statement of I am a failure. So immediately remove these words out of your language, right? That's the first step. Now, the other thing that you need to think about is your mindset. So a fixed mindset is going to be something like, hey, I failed at hitting my goals this quarter. And so what happened was a waste of my time, and what I did was a waste. That's a fixed mindset. Growth mindset has to look at it as learning really does come from trying, right? Failing is just part of this process, and a part of the process of learning and improving, and it's always, always worth it, right? And so just like a plane that took off from Dallas to New York, you hit some turbulence this quarter, right? It was a little bumpy. And so you need to go back and assess objectively what happened and why. We're going to get into that in a moment. And so in starting out, I'm going to give you something very specific. So today is Sunday. You know, I know that I wanted to record this earlier, but I was a little busy this weekend. So hopefully when you listen to this, it's early in this week. So you just started the quarter. So you have time to do this. So if you don't do it this weekend, try and do it next week. And the sooner the better, right? So I'm going to give you some specific things to do. Always remember, where there's hope in the future, there's always power in the present. If you don't have hope for the future, no matter how good you are at sales, you're not going to be able to dig yourself out, right? And so here's the first thing I want you to do. And again, for those who are, you know, not at plan, you might be put on a performance improvement plan. I know how you feel. You probably feel pretty depressed and miserable. You probably feel like it's all over. And you're almost like putting yourself out to just die in the wilderness, right? We all know that feeling for those of us who received a performance improvement plan, right? Doesn't feel like it's a plan to improve performance. It just feels like it's a plan to slowly die, right? So don't think of it like that. So the first thing I want you to do is open your calendar up. That's right. Open your calendar up. Open your email up, you know, in a separate a window. And go back in time for this quarter. Because I guarantee you there's going to be some wins that you had this quarter. Whether it was a demo that you got, maybe a new surgeon that you were able to get onto a call. Maybe you helped a peer out with their market, right? I guarantee if you look between your calendar and your emails, you'll find some wins. And I want you to write those things down, okay? Now again, this is not therapy. This is business advice. So there's a reason for doing this. Yes, it's going to make you feel a little bit better, but there's a key to what we're doing here. So go back in your calendar. You know, and I did this in my business too. The first quarter I had this year, it was like not very good. I had like really high revenue in January, and then it was half that revenue in February, and then about the same in March. So my revenue is going down. So as a business owner, as an entrepreneur who's, again, selling my own product, I had a baby on the way, that was really depressing. And I would have been, I wouldn't have survived had I not done this one thing. So I went back in my calendar, looked at the meetings I had and thought, yeah, you know what? I remember I really wanted to get this many demos booked, right? I did that. I remember I wanted to get this person into my pipeline, right? So go back and look at the wins that you got, right? So now that you've gone back and looked at those wins and everything and the small things you got and you wrote these things out, look at the list that you have. It's probably a lot longer than you expected, right? And what I would say is you can look at this list and say, you know what? I had wins this quarter. They just didn't amount to the end result that I wanted. That's okay. But now comes the hard part, right? And most salespeople don't do this, right? When you miss a quota, your quarter, what always happens is that we go to deal rep, right? So we'll go in front of our peers, we'll rip a deal apart. But you know, that's not enough. The 30 minutes or an hour, if you're lucky, you get an hour, but like it's rarely the case. The time that you spend in front of your team and your manager ripping your deal apart, it's not enough time, right? Go back and really evaluate, like, okay, what hypotheses did I have? You got to look at this as a, like with a scientific method. So every deal that you had that did not close this quarter, right? And just, you know, if the deal was moving forward to this quarter, that's a different story. But we have some deals that just were dogs. No other way to say it. They were just absolute dogs. They had no business being your pipeline, but for some reason you kept them in there. What assumptions did you have that you were wrong about? And really be honest with yourself, right? And what I would say is that if you go back to those deals at the time, your ego is what kept them in the pipeline. But deep down inside, intuitively, you knew they were not going to go anywhere. You deeply wanted to believe they would, but they weren't. Whether it was the hospital just wasn't going to have budget, your clinical champion or the prospect you were working with just didn't have that much skin in the game. Maybe they just didn't have that political capital to push something through, right? You got to go back and be really honest with yourself. Why did this happen? You got to write it down, right? You have to grade yourself harder than anybody else. If you wait till the end of the quarter for your manager or your VP to be the one grading you, you're making a big mistake in your career. What you have to do is you have to go and be the hardest grader, right? Really grade yourself hard. What happened? Why did it happen, right? So those are the first things I want you to do. Go back in your calendar, go back through your emails to the quarter. What happened well, right? And I want you to make a list of that. What are the good things? I don't care even if you got a prospect to email you back. If that was a win, if that made you feel good, I want you to write that stuff down because we need to focus on those emotions. Emotion, remember, emotion is energy in motion, E-M-O-T-I-O-N, energy in motion, right? And so we need to get those wins racked up because right now when you start Q4, let me tell you what, you're not going to turn anything around if you're feeling like a loser, if you feel like a failure, and you're focusing on all these scarcity emotions, right? What went wrong and everything. So get those lists, go the things that you did well, get them down on a list. I want you to meditate and focus on that. On the same token, go back and look at your deals, look at the things that you could have done better, look at the things that you could have been more honest with yourself about, right? And ask yourself, what illusions was I under that made me think this? Because identifying what went wrong is going to be really key. Right? It's going to be very important because what you don't want to do is continue to make those same mistakes, right? What you want to do is eliminate, again, just like a plane that's taken off from Dallas to New York, you want to eliminate these biases you might have, right? The last thing you want to do, and I've seen salespeople with this kind of reputation, they go up, they keep making the same mistake, putting deals on that everybody in the room knows is not going to go anywhere. But some reason they've convinced themselves that, yeah, there's a chance, right? And it's a very awkward thing because at some point management is going to call it out and say, you know what, this feels a lot like the past deals that you've had. We have no confidence that you have any idea that this is going to go forward or not. So now with that aside, right, now you've objectively analyzed, you know, what happened this past quarter, right, and what wins you have. Now I want to go into a little bit more on the mindset side. So we're going to go into some mindset things that are very important, right? And this is a process. Mindset is not just, hey, I'm going to wake up in the morning, slap my hands together and feel good about myself. There is a process to train the mind, right? And if you don't think this is important, let me ask you this. How much more effective are you going to be if when you meet with a prospect, right, and you have, let's say, 10 deals in pipeline, right? How much more confident are you going to be? How much more authoritative are you going to be versus if you go meet with a prospect and in your pipeline, you have no deals? You're going to come off desperate and you're going to come off so needy, right? And so the key is, how do you engineer your mind so you have that same level of authority and confidence regardless of what's in your pipeline? You can only control so much in the outside world. The only thing you really have control of is your mind and your perceptions, right? So next thing I want to cover are some key points to what's called psycho-cybernetics, okay? This is a book written by Dr. Maxwell Maltz back in the 50s, I think. And Maltz was a plastic surgeon. And what he did was, you know, when people came back from war, you know, they had, you know, their faces were disfigured, they had body dismemberment. And so he had to do surgery to correct this. And he noticed that when he did the surgeries, these people changed, not just physically, but everything about their life. And it's because they saw themselves in a different way. So psycho-cybernetics means the ability to steer the mind, kind of like steering a ship. So let's go through a couple of key points, okay? So the first point that I want to cover, okay, is that it's all about self-image. Number one, it's all about self-image, right? So the book specifically covers things that that everyone has essentially a specific mental portrait that defines who they are and what they believe in, okay? Very, very important. And that mental portrait is really a result of past experiences, successes, feelings, behaviors, etc. And as a result, this image represents the foundation on which we build our personality, right? The thing is, most people let past experiences define them in a negative way. Therefore, right, they end up behaving in a way that's not coherent with who they really are, but only with who they think they are. Okay, the reason why that's important is that now that the quarter ended, if you fail to hit quota, you are literally defining yourself as a salesperson going to Q4 based on the fact that you failed to hit quota. That's all you're thinking about, right? And that's not going to help you. It's not, right? So this mental distortion, right, and I call it a mental distortion, this can actually be overcome. And what it takes to do that is adopting a new method for better defining yourself, right, and living the life in accordance with the person that you really are supposed to be and who you want to be, right? So what does that all mean? That means you have to essentially construct a new self-image, right? Something that's going to resemble who you want to be closest to, right? No more nor less, right? And what people fail to understand is that every single person was really born for success, right? And I know that's kind of a whimsical way of thinking about it, but I really do believe that, right? To what level of success, who knows? But you possess the potential to have some level of internal greatness, right? It's just waiting to be unleashed. And so the thing that you have to think about is that these capabilities are all in your head, right? When I walked into this room and I turned the light on, right, I did not generate electricity. I just released it. And it's the same thing with you as a salesperson, which is there is a great salesperson in you. There's a successful person within you. You don't have to generate anything. You have to just release it, right? So inside of you, regardless of the opinion that you might have of yourself, lies the ability to be happy, to be successful, right? And to attain the things that you want, right? As long as you're able to put your mind to it. And again, we're going to get into that in a moment because there is a process. It's not just wishful thinking. This is, how do you align your mind? How do you have the right daily processes that map to actions, right? That help hit objectives, right? That's the key, okay? This is not an episode about motivation, although it sounds like it's an episode really about discipline, okay? You know, so in this exact moment, right, that as you're listening to this episode, you have the opportunity to do things that you really have dreamed of doing, right? And that opportunity becomes available the moment you dehypnotize yourself, right? From thoughts such as, oh, I failed to hit quota. I'm a failure. I'm such a loser. I can't do this. I don't have the skills. I don't have this. The company didn't give me that. All these things. None of these things, none of these excuses are going to help you in any way. It's like mental masturbation. It's going to make you feel good. Not going to do anything, you know? Now, the next point, point number two, and I have a little list here that I'm going through. Point number two is imagination is key, believe it or not. So remember I told you earlier, you write down that list of things that you accomplished, right? The good things, right? Imagination is key. Emotion is energy in motion. And so there's a part of you that as you project into the future to hit certain goals and objectives, you need to take the momentum of past results that were good and put it behind you, right? To kind of propel you forward. Because what most people do is that they use past negative events and they think that propels them forward. In fact, it inhibits them. These are obstacles you're putting in front of yourself and you're making it harder, right? So according to Dr. Maltz, right, imagination is really key. And so just like at times, or I guess most of the time or all the times, when we think of ourselves as incompetent, lazy, you know, losers, whatever it is, you know, when you don't hit quota, you create a new creative mental impression and behaving as if, right? So if you think of yourself as a failure and as an unskilled salesperson, you beat yourself up about Q3, guarantee that's who you're going to be for Q4. It's that simple, right? So the thing to point out is that the human brain does not distinguish between imagination and reality. Instead, it literally acts based on the information we send it through our thoughts. Very, very simply. Simply put, okay? Let me give you a great example, okay? If you ever remember back in school, before you're about to take a test, right? There might be a test that you actually studied for and you felt prepared, but you failed the exam. I guarantee if you can think back, you went in thinking, I hope I don't fail this exam. I hope I don't make this mistake. The brain doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality, and it just acts on it as such, right? Same thing. If all you can do is keep reminiscing and thinking about how you screwed up Q3 and you put that focus and energy in Q4, whether you believe in God, the universe, or anything else, for some reason that's what ends up happening, right? So you have to imagine a new version of yourself as a salesperson through your attitude and interpretation of various situations, right? And this is what, it's almost like you have to run a new program to dehypnotize your brain, right? And if you do that, your brain will go to work on helping you achieve the things that you're trying to achieve for this quarter, right? Again, I know this, some salespeople, they're listening to this and they're just like, I don't know if it's, you know, what to think about this, but you know, again, the best analogy I can use is sports. If Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or any of these great athletes, name your pick, lost. They all have lost. If they lost and all they did was dwell on what happened in the past, how they failed and everything, that is all they continue to get. There's something about life that's just how it is, right? Now, the next key number three, and I have 10 keys for this, right? 10 keys, and then we're gonna wrap up with some sales management stuff. So if you're a sales leader and you didn't have a good quarter for your team, this is for you as well. You got to relax. It's very important. And I'm big on working hard and everything, but and it's very good to have a proactive lifestyle. Taking time to relax is going to yield tremendous benefits when it comes to actually, again, I'm going to use the word dehypnotizing yourself from negative scarcity-based thoughts, right, and convictions. All this takes is really like 15 minutes a day, honestly. You know, and what I recommend is at the end of the day, and you have to do this every day for the quarter. Believe me, you'll thank me if you do this. Every day, you find a comfortable spot in your home, go there and just let go of all the tension that's piled up, built up inside of you, your muscles all day long. Try and meditate, right? Meditation has a lot of benefit to it. You know, I meditate every day. I've been doing that for almost 7 years now. I use an app called Headspace, right? And the important thing is that you want to make this a regular habit in your life, right? It will give you more clarity. It's going to bring you more emotional well-being, a lot less anxiety, right? And these positive things will influence your self-image. Again, please do not confuse this with therapy. It might feel like it, but this is actual business advice. Again, you know, I even tell this to people, for those of you who are, let's say, interviewing for a job. That's why I tell people, when you interview for jobs, apply to as many jobs as you can. Interview at places you would never even take the job at, because the brain doesn't know the difference between the job you really want and some job that you're just interviewing for the sake of interviewing. Because then when you build that up, you build up a lot of confidence, a lot of relaxation, right? So when you interview for the job you really want, you're not putting all this focus and neediness on getting it, right? There's somebody who's in my program, did this exact same thing I told him to do, gets the job. Why? He did not bring this neediness to the interview, right? So point number four, this is very important for those salespeople who are listening. You got to let go of past failures, okay? Forget mistakes, forget failure, forget everything except what you're going to do now, and then just do it. Let me hypnotize some of you guys, some of you who might be listening to this. I want you to imagine all your past, right? All the different things that have happened to you. And I want you to pretend that today, everything from your past was completely erased. Feel that for a moment. Everything from your past was completely erased, completely gone. You're blank slate. You might feel like, even for a split of a second, you might have felt a big weight lifted off of you, right? The powerful thing about this is that you can have that. It's all a perception. So just pretend that today really is your new day, right? Yesterday is gone, right? So that's it. You know, failure, always remember, failure is an event. It's not a person, you know? And while it's okay to look back at your past successes, you know, as they can inspire you to do more of what you want to do to move forward, you should completely forget about your failures, right? Your errors, your trials, your tribulations, all these things, they're learning steps. They have been absolutely necessary for your development. You know, a lot of salespeople don't look at that, but deals you lost, things that didn't go right in Q3, these were necessary for your development. As a salesperson, it's necessary for the development of your business, right? And besides, you know, lessons that they might teach us, these negative events, right, these failures, right, they really do you no good aside from just things that they've taught you from lessons, right? So aside from you objectively, again, remember, you go back in your calendar and meetings, you objectively evaluate your pipeline, what went wrong, you note it down, okay, great, it's a data point. As soon as you do that, you just eliminate it. You eliminated this, you got to eliminate this from your mind. You know, continuous dwelling on what happened in Q3 will not simplify the process of getting better. And on the contrary, it's going to perpetuate the behavior that you want to change, right? So in a nutshell, it is self-destructive. If you're a sales leader, right, you cannot do anything more to set your team up for failure than to constantly dwell and bring up missed goals in Q3. What's in the past is in the past. Leave it alone and never talk about it again. You want to have a deal rip, you want to objectively evaluate what happened, what we can do better, etc. Do that. And the moment you have that objective feedback, right, of those data points, you eliminate it. Do not talk about it. Don't even think about it, right? So, and you know, what you should be doing, right, is playing this game of a possibility. Like, what if it happens, right? What if you can pull it off this quarter? What if you can really do this? What if you do this? What if you, you know... The questions you ask yourself will reflect the quality of life you live. The quality of questions you ask yourself will be the quality of life you live, right? And all these questions open up a host of potential opportunities that can essentially, nurture your mind, right, and help you get away from like negative and destructive thoughts, right, and move it towards more ambitious ones. So for example, you should every day, you should ask yourself questions about things that have never happened, but you want to happen. Why is my pipeline so full? Why am I so good in moving deals forward? Because when you ask yourself questions like that constantly, your mind will subconsciously go to work to make those things a reality, right? And you'll act differently. Okay, again, there's salespeople who are listening to this who probably rolled their eyes. Let me ask you this, right? If all you do is go around talking about, you know, why are you failing? Why is the market so hard? Why is it so hard to sell, etc.? That's all you're going to get. It's something I can't, science doesn't know how to explain this, but that's how this works, my friends. Okay. So let's go to number 5. Let your success mechanism do the work, right? So we talked about what failure is, right? When it comes to success, you know, here's the thing that you have to keep in mind when it comes to success. You're born with a creative mechanism as a human being, right? And although we often decide to ignore it, to benefit from the conscious part of our brain, which always, for some reason, wants to focus on the negative, it really does remain there, right? And so one thing you have to get very, very clear about, right, is once you get clear about the problem that you intend to solve, you should completely clean up your mind from any worry or expectation and anxiety related to the potential end result, right? Which is going to sound counterintuitive, right? So if your problem is you need to make up for Q3, you need to hit quota for Q4 and everything. The problem is I need to hit quota for Q4. Get rid of the anxiety and concern of how you're going to do it, right? Or not the how you're going to do it, but more specifically the potential end result, right? You're allow your subconscious mind to kind of do the work, and the process is pretty simple. It looks something like this, and this is the process that I go through. Think very intensely about the problem, okay? Gather all the information you need. Consider the possible deviations, right? And of course, have a very strong burning desire to solve it. Again, emotion is energy in motion. Okay, so for example, if this problem you're trying to solve is you need to do $10 million in revenue this quarter to make up for Q3, right? Focus on every data point you need to figure out how to get there, right? Be deeply committed to solving it. And after you fully define the problem and what the finish line looks like in terms of once I achieve, let's say, 10 million in revenue, what does it look like? How many deals did you do? How many demos, you know, et cetera. Drop any thought related to it for a few days. Like just go through this exercise, but then after that, leave it alone. Do not wake up dwelling on this. Just leave it alone. And more often than not, after coming back to the problem, you'll find out that the solution somehow will present itself in some way. It's a very strange thing, but again, it's like you have to, you know, have very intense focus on the problem you're trying to solve, objectively map out how you're going to do it, and then leave it alone. Give your brain a break, and somehow, like magic, these things will solve themselves. But again, it's a coordination between what you do from a mentality standpoint and then what actions you take. Action is very important. So number 6, be happy. I don't think, you know, for me, I don't believe in being happy just for the sake of being happy. But, you know, every day you wake up that you're not being bombed is a day that you should be grateful and happy. Every day you wake up that you have your health, you should feel happy, right? And so one thing that I recommend doing every morning is when you wake up in the morning, sit down and in a little journal, you should write down 3 things you're grateful for. And they should be very simple things. Be grateful that you have a warm home. Be grateful that you have a family, right? Maybe you have a screwed up family. Maybe your family is, you know, you're fighting with them all the time. But I guarantee you there's people in this world who have no family and they'd rather have a family that they're fighting with than no family at all. So find ways to be grateful for what you have, right? Wish for the things that you have, okay? And a lot of times, and this is very specific to the entrepreneurs that I'm speaking to. We have a problem of constantly moving the goal line. We're constantly chasing the horizon, right? And the moment that we get to like some achievement, let's say it's hitting sales quota, right? Or let's say it's growing our business by a certain amount. We very quickly move on to the next thing. We don't even give time to really celebrate the win or the things that we do. That's why I tell you, go back in your calendar and emails and look at the little wins that you got throughout the quarter. Write them all down, right? It's very, very important, you know? And that's why it's very important to kind of reflect on the present, right? You know, the process of waking up and starting your day with a sense of gratitude, right? And then focusing on the problems you're going to solve, right? And asking questions as to why you have such abundance, right? Again, wishful thinking, hope is not a strategy. These things are not going to guarantee that anything changes, but they will definitely allow you to take better, more effective action. That's what this is all about. It's kind of like the mindset, the thoughts, the imagination. This is all fuel to propel you forward as you take action, versus if you focus on negative thinking, dwelling on things that happened in the past and everything, all that is fuel that's going to propel you in the opposite direction. It's going to push you back, okay? Now, a couple other points. The success mechanism, okay? So everyone has a different definition of success. I like the way Maxwell Maltz actually defines it. And so this is what success should essentially look like. You have a sense of direction, right? Einstein said it best. People are like bicycles. They can keep balance only as long as they keep moving. Think about that, right? You're just like a bicycle. You can keep balance only as you keep moving. You're always looking for new accomplishments, you know, always driven by the desire of achieving and becoming something more than what you currently have. But that's why having, you know, some goals and systems to attain them constitutes the prerequisite for reaching success, right? Comprehension, right? You got to be able to communicate. Understanding your own problems is going to be helpful to understanding people's problems and aspirations, you know, with their feelings, with their emotions, you know, and even admitting your own mistakes and shortcomings and finding a way to correct them. These are great social skills, right? So again, when you go to a deal rip, don't have to dwell on the past, right? But find ways to go back in the past. And I think you'll gain a lot of respect from your peers where you say, hey, you know, I put this deal on, at the beginning of the quarter, here's why I'm taking it off. These are some keys that I remember from a previous deal that I felt like, you know, might be, you know, a good deal, but it turned out it didn't. The same deal has these kind of things, right? So being very good, again, you're not evaluating yourself. You're evaluating objective things that are not attached to you. The deal is not attached to you. You have to keep that in mind, right? The ideas are not attached to you. And so doing that is going to be important. It's going to separate your sense of identity from these things, right? Another thing is courage, right? Every problem seems a lot smaller if it's faced in the right way and appropriately. You know, don't be afraid to take on this, you know, new challenge. It's just going to make you stronger. And then have courage when you take action, right? Again, if you start the quarter dwelling on the past and focusing on the wrong things, right? That's the way to essentially assure, you know, that you defeat yourself, right? Next few items I want to cover, you know, esteem. So doubting yourself, again, poison. It's a poison that's going to jeopardize your goals. So again, as a salesperson, if you did not have a good quarter last quarter, that is not you. Failure is an event. It's not a person. Your identity is not in that quarter. You need to just move on, right? You have to have self-confidence, self-assurance, right? Now, it's very important to also define failure. So this is number 8. We're going to go to 10, and then I'm going to go through some sales management stuff. So for the failure mechanism, right, there are some things that really define failure, right? And this one, I actually wrote it out so that each letter in the word failure means something, right? So you have to define the bottom. You have to define what failure is, right? So the F is frustration. Disappointments and humiliations will come. You got to learn to embrace them, right? Without being cruel to yourself. So if you constantly just find yourself, you're just frustrated, you're beating yourself up, that's one step to being a failure, right? It's only when you temporarily When you let temporary failure define your emotional state for a long time, that's when you become a victim. That's when you start failing more and more often, right? So don't get frustrated. The A stands for aggressiveness, right? Misdirected aggressiveness is going to always follow disappointment. I've learned that the hard way in my career. It is important, you know, however, to point out that there's a difference between aggressiveness. There's positive aggressiveness, right? Which is really, I would say, pure determination that allows you to just have that courage to tackle whatever challenges are in front of you. But then there's negative aggressiveness. And negative aggressiveness, it's frustration. It's never going to lead to positive outcome, right? Okay. The I in failure, insecurity, right? Insecurity, that what I mean by that is that the always present thought of not being enough for something greater, right? It's not being, you know, good enough to do this, or not having enough money, or feeling like you don't have enough skills, etc. You know, you're not going to be able to break through mental blocks as a salesperson and turn things around if you have a sense of insecurity. Now, there is there's a healthy sense of paranoia that's required. Andy Grove, the chairman of Intel and HP, or not Intel, HP, I'm sorry, of Intel, wrote a great book called Only the Paranoid to Survive. Now, it's good to have that, like, a healthy sense of insecurity and paranoia. It cannot be crippling. It has to be there just to kind of, like, make you disciplined to push through a day that you're feeling lazy. But that's it, right? The L in failure, loneliness, right? Each one of us gets or feels lonely at times, but you should not be lonely on purpose, okay? A life lived with others is definitely it's far better. It's one of the greatest pleasures in life that has to offer. So mingling with people makes it a lot more interesting, right? A lot less anxious. So, you know, and for those who are interested, you know, I run a program called the Medical Sales Network Effects Program. It does teach you how to, you know, teaches you the foundations of persuasion and psychology, you know, how to sell remotely without stepping in a hospital, like using LinkedIn and email, etc. We have a little community, right? We have a little network. And so getting plugged in, and you don't have to be part of mine, you know, Matthew Ray Scott and Eric Anderson, they have a great community, a little mastermind called Medical Sales RX. Join something, you know, and if you, for whatever reason, don't want to join those, you know, go connect with other salespeople outside of your company to kind of, you know, relate to. If you connect with people within your company, the problem is that you're always going to end up talking about, you know, negative things, what's going wrong, etc. And it doesn't help, right? Last letters of failure, the U in failure, uncertainty. Okay. Uncertainty relates to being fearful of making mistakes, right? And of course, yeah, mistakes can be definitely costly. But you know, if you grow up with a perfectionist mindset, then every decision is a matter of life and death, right? If you're one of those people, just remember that making mistakes and adjusting course is what life is all about. If you never make mistakes, that means you're not even trying or doing something of value, okay? You know, even if you look at biology and evolution has nothing to do with the whoever's the fastest or strongest, or in the business world, whoever's the rightest. It's really the ability to adapt, you know, adapt and evolve. And what that takes is a lot of trial and error. How many times did Elon Musk fail, like royally publicly fail with SpaceX? How many rockets blew up, right? Those are all data points. It's part of the moment that you assume that failure is part of the learning process and it's never ending, then you can detach your self identity from failure. It's just a thing. It's literally just a thing. I can't tell you how many things screwed up and failed for me this past quarter. All data points. That's it. I have no emotion to these things. And that includes success too. I think it's important that when you have success, you use it to, again, really ground yourself that's your identity and that's what you're about, but not to get too wrapped up in success as well, because when you're constantly wrapping yourself up with that, you start to get lazy. You don't look objectively at what's going wrong around you, okay? The last two letters, R and E. So the R in failure stands for resentment. Aside from being the worst company for those around them, the person that's constantly bitter and has grief about their situation, etc., they're playing the victim game, their resentment, you're just going to bring bad things into your life. Even if you're in a bad situation, you have a bad boss, you resent your company, developing that type of resentment is not going to solve anything for you. And unfortunately, you could be a great person, you could be a great salesperson, but if you harbor a lot of resentment, you're not going to be able to shake that off when you go talk to prospects. You're not going to be able to shake that off when you talk to other companies. And I've interviewed people like that, and you can feel the resentment on them, and you don't want to work with those people. And the last thing is emptiness, E. Okay? I think that emptiness is very much similar to disillusion, in the sense that it's going to elude the individual that, like, let's say for a number of reasons, is just not able to enjoy life anymore, right? This mental state can be overcome if you have the right daily activities, the right daily goals, right? And we're going to get into that in a moment. So the last two points of this 10, of these 10 things, number nine is disinhibiting yourself, right? Personality is a trait that's going to define you, and, you know, it can either do so in a strong or weak way, right? Strong personality resembles somebody that, without inhibitions, is able to express their real self, right? So a weak one is usually to express themselves, right, for a host of reasons. And a lot of those reasons could be shame, anger, it could be shyness, all these things. It's important to know that negative reactions are useful for correcting your aim. Okay, so if you're aiming for a goal, right, that's what a goal is, you're aiming at something. A negative reaction can be important for that. It's like a little voice in your head that tells you, hey, you're not targeting the goal properly, you should adjust your focus, etc. And so it's okay to listen to that voice, but what you have to be careful to do is that when things aren't going well and you have to be patient, you can't just start turning around and saying, oh, I'm a failure, it's not going to work, because then you will fail, right? Number 10, the very last thing is that your mind is your most valuable asset. It really is. You know, a crisis is a situation that can either build you or break you, right? Whether that's a personal crisis or a professional crisis. As I mentioned before, the most successful people stand on a pile of circumstances and they stand high, right? Versus getting buried by circumstances. So, you know, this is when the mind, which is, again, the most important thing that you possess, can help you the most. An aggressive attitude and the ability to see the finish line despite the obstacles that appear on your path are the two things that, you know, are going to be completely powered by your mind, right? Nobody can help you with that. So no matter what the situation you're going to find yourself in this quarter, you can still make a decision that you can turn your life upside down, right? Depending on how you like to look at things, right? When you face a challenge that seems bigger than yourselves, you can find, you know, you can tap into things like courage, strength, resilience at will, whenever you want. And you can discover that powers that, you know, you never thought you might have, right? Like I told you, it's like going into a dark room and you flip a light switch on. You didn't generate electricity, you released it. But the secret is that it's all in your mind. True power really lies in the ability to accept the challenge and say to yourself, hey, no matter what happens, I'm going to make it. And I can already see this happening, right? And you have nothing to lose, everything to gain, right? A lot of times when you see great fighters who come from behind, right? They are able to see themselves winning, and no matter what, they find a way. I mean, look at Leon Edwards. For those who watch UFC, Leon Edwards was the challenger and beat the champion, right? And how did he beat him? Within what, 50 seconds of the final round? Knocks him out, right? And it's the same thing in this case, right? No matter what the obstacles are, if you're able to constantly on a daily basis visualize it and act upon it, right? That'll help you hit those goals. And again, for those salespeople who, you know, might think this is like voo-voo magic, right? You tell me if it makes sense to constantly think about negative things, to think about failures, to think about all this stuff. Do you think you're going to be able to accomplish your goals for the quarter? Probably not, okay? Now comes to the sort of final part and the end of this broadcast, which is I want to talk about sales management. And this is really for sales managers, but you know, what you have to do is, whether you're a sales manager or sales rep, you need to think about what you do based on this. And I've talked about this all the time. You have a business result for the quarter, right? Okay. That is the most non-manageable thing you got. You cannot manage 10, you know, let's say it's 5 deals, right? Or $10 million. Can't manage that. You cannot manage that. All right. It's the most non-manageable thing, right? Objectives, the things that are going to take to get those results, you can kind of manage those. The only thing that you have is below that, which is sales activity. So the direct, the one thing you have control of, the things that's directly manageable, sales activities, right? And the way you need to think about these is, these are metrics that you can measure on a daily, if not weekly basis, right? Number of sales calls you've made, number of count plans completed, number of demos, number of emails sent, right? You control that on a daily and weekly basis, right? So start there. Your indirect manageable metrics are sales objectives, right? So unlike sales activities, most of the metrics that you've observed, you know, should not be directly managed. And in fact, when you focus on measuring the achievement of specific goals or objectives, right? You may or may not hit them, right? And so like an objective, for example, would be your conversion rate, like percent deal win rate, right? Number of newly acquired deals in pipeline, right? You know, those things, you can drive towards them, but you can't directly manage them. And then the last thing, again, of course, this is the unmanageable metric, which is a business result. Number of deals closed, the revenue, etc. You cannot focus on those things, right? It's kind of like if, you know, again, going back to the Patriots analogy, if you're losing in a game and all you're doing is focusing on the scoreboard and looking at the number, that's pretty much what you're doing here with a business result. Like focusing on the scoreboard is not going to help you come from behind and win, right? You got to focus on, in the moment, the exact level of activities that you're doing. So with that being said, for those who are listening to this on, whether you're listening to this on a podcast or if you're watching this on YouTube or LinkedIn, check the show notes below. I left a link, and this link is a free template that I got. I think I got this actually from Justin Welsh. So Justin Welsh is a friend, and he shared this a while back, which is BHAG. It stands for Big Hairy Audacious Goals. There's 3 sections in there, and you'll notice it's not all business. There's 1 section for your personal life, 1 section for business, and 1 section for health and wellness, right? And really putting down what your big, hairy, audacious goal is for the quarter, but then mapping back, what are you going to be doing daily to get to there, right? What systems? This is the big thing, is that without systems, you know, all it is just tactical noise, right? But if you have a system of activities that will say, hey, if I do this system of activities every day, every week, this will help me hit those monthly objectives, right? And if I do that, that's going to yield the results that I want, right? That's the most important thing. And so just to kind of wrap up, you know, in summary, for those who, let's say, missed your quota, failure is an event. It's not a person, right? You do not define yourself by your failures. These are data points. These are learning points. So go back in your calendar, go back in your emails. Look at the wins you had. I don't care how small it is. It could be getting a reply back from a prospect. Write these wins down. Come up with that list, and you'll be surprised how long it is, right? Really meditate on that, right? Then I want you to go back and just objectively look at what things didn't go so well. What deals were you wrong about? Objectively evaluate them and say, hey, could I think back to the emotion, the feeling I had that day when I put this on the board? Did I really believe that this could close, or was I just trying to, you know, was it just wishful thinking, right? Just be objective about what you could have done better. Then put together a plan, right? reverse engineer. If you have your results or the what you have to hit for quota this quarter, what objectives do you have to hit for that to occur? And then the most important part is the activities, right? Because that's going to determine whether you hit those objectives, and those objectives will determine whether you get those business results, right? You really got to sit down and write this stuff out, okay? You can do this over a period of 1 or 2 days. You have to be disciplined. Being disciplined will set you free, my friends. Believe me. And once you do that, leave it all behind. Every day, you should just be focusing on achieving specific activities and be patient, right? And that's the best you can do. And the last thing I want to mention is, again, the way you start your day, the way you end your day, extremely important. You should be starting your day reflecting on three things that you're grateful for having, things that you wish you would have, right? Write them down. You know, it's good. Great. If you win the morning, you win the day. After you write those things down, write down three things that you're going to accomplish that day and say, hey, today's going to be great when I, have this demo, close a deal, do this, right? And then write down questions that you deeply want the answers to, right? Such as, instead of saying, why can't I get more deals? Why am I struggling? No negative talk. Ask questions that the answers to you actually want. Like, why am I so good at sales? Why is my pipeline growing so fast? Why is it so easy for me to book demos? If you ask yourself that question all the time, at some point your brain will subconsciously go to work and you'll find ways to make that true. You'll, through your actions, okay? If you don't believe me, if you think this is ridiculous, hey, humor me. Do this for 30 days. Commit to it. See what happens. And then the last thing is that every evening, again, as a salesperson, we're hunters, right? Even the ones that are quote unquote farming salespeople that just, they farm relationships, they nurture them. We're all hunters. The moment we achieve one thing, we're off to the next thing. At the end of every day, really reflect on, the three things that you set out to accomplish that day. And if you didn't hit them, that's okay. But find ways to celebrate the little wins, right? Those little wins over time start building more and more momentum. And then your brain is essentially trained to look for opportunities to hit goals and everything. So with that being said, I hope this has been helpful. And I'll stay on to answer some questions for those who are on live. But if you're listening to this on the podcast, hey, do me a big favor. Take a second, go give this give our podcast a 5-star review. If it's on Apple, go ahead and write a review. If it's on Spotify or anything else, just give it 5 stars. Make sure to subscribe. And if you know somebody who missed their quarter, right? They missed quota. They might be depressed. They might be down. Send them this episode. You never know how these things can help people, So if this has been helpful, let me know. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, check the notes below. Aside from, Spotify and Apple, you'll see the links for these different items I talked about. But also on Spotify, I'm going to leave a poll. Check that poll. I want to know, did you miss quota this quarter? Answer the poll. Let me know. I'll share the results of it in the next episode. So with that being said, hope you all take care and hope you have a great Q4. Get after it. Thank you for listening to another episode of The State of MedTech. I'm your host, Omar M. Khatib. Do us a favor, if you like this episode, share with somebody, and go ahead on Apple and Spotify, wherever you are, leave a 5-star review, type a few nice notes about us. This is how we get other people to find the show. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.